It's time for our weekly Fargo Force Coaches Conversation this week with assistant coach Jackson Keene. Coach, you guys are about 25% of the way through the regular season now. How do you think things are going throughout the season to this point?
I think things are going pretty well. I think we're pretty happy with our record right now. And I think just, with how things went last year and the success we had, it's obviously really good to, reload and kind of get right back to it. So I think we're excited where we're at right now.
When you take the season in bits of phases, I know Coach Skinner likes to do kind of his groups of sixes, if I remember correctly, games. I don't know what Coach Sprout, if he likes to do anything. Do you kind of roll in that same spot where you guys all go through that same, half a dozen games or so, and then you reassess, reevaluate, or is there some different way that you like to try and evaluate guys on the ice as a coach at this point? Is there something that you did as a player, or is it just kind of take it game by game or day by day, and you're just basically a coaching staff kind of figuring things out?
Yeah, Skin likes doing the six-game segment. I like that a lot. I think it's a pretty cool way to look at things. As a player, I never really looked into that type of stuff. It was mostly just game by game. And, to be honest, a lot of it still is game by game. But to see that, see the segment is usually a pretty good judge of how, those games went. And, I think we've done a pretty good job in the last six. And, I think moving forward, it's going to be a bit of a test with the 3-3 coming up. And then couple games Thanksgiving and you're almost at Christmas already, so it's pretty crazy how fast it's gone by.
You had just mentioned that three games in three nights, so this weekend against Tri-City, so with it being Wednesday, so it'll be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday three game series. Is there any advice that you have to the players that's a little bit different from a normal weekend? Do the guys just go about their normal business, or is there something that you have to adjust a little bit, whether it's on the ice wise, whether it's nutrition wise or rest or anything of those sorts with playing three games in a three night span?
Not really. I think it'll probably sound a little cliche and I kind of just mentioned it, but I think just taking it one day at a time, it's very easy to, go in that weekend and think, oh, we got to win. Yeah, we got to win two or we got to win three. I think, you take it day by day, and obviously, like you mentioned, the rest and recovery is going to be huge. Today we're getting on the bus here this morning. Well, the team is, and, get there a little early, and we didn't skate this morning. So we just came in and got breakfast and are getting on the bus and letting the guys, get relaxed a little bit. So we try different things. Like last year, we did skate on these days, and then we'd get on the road. So, it's not really anything in particular that, I would have advice for them. I think it's just worry about Thursday. When we get to Friday, we'll worry about that. And then, obviously Saturday, same thing.
In your experience, I don't quite know how things went for you when you were at UND or when you played juniors hockey as well, but when it comes to just kind of piggybacking off of three games in three nights, or even a normal weekend where you have two games back-to-back nights, is there much of a difference with how the body's developing and things of those sorts to get in an extra skate? Is there something that at certain parts of the year you shy away from, or is it actually more beneficial just to be out there, just to get your body moving, get the muscles rolling, and to basically be able to kind of keep up that framework?
Yeah, I personally liked skating both days on Fridays and Saturdays. I think it's a big debate in the hockey world now is if pregame skate is even worth it. I mean, when you really get down to think about it, it is a little silly, but I always enjoyed it. I felt like it just got me mentally into a game a little more. And if I didn't play the night before, it was a good way to get a sweat in and just kind of get prepared. But I think it's really different for everyone. I don't think at this point of the season, not skating today is a huge difference, just because, you know, we're on the ice every day, and it's been, you know, it's March, you know, whatever it is, I don't even know, March 20th, and, you know, so guys have been on the ice every day for the last, you know, whatever it is, 4 months, so at this point, I think, you know, giving them a little bit of more rest and just focusing on getting on the bus is sometimes a little good mental reset, and, you know, then we'll get it back on the ice tomorrow and Kearney.
When you guys are working through different lineups and things of those sorts, I'm kind of curious, do you try and adjust lineups based on those six-game stints? Do you try and change them up a little bit based off of how guys are performing or where you guys are or who you're playing to try and adjust play style a little bit? Or I obviously, when you have the different national tournaments and stuff and you're down a guy or two, you have to make some that way. But is it a goal to try and keep them as similar as possible throughout the season to build up chemistry? Or are there opportunities to ebb and flow and mix up those lines a little bit, so that way if somebody is under the weather or if they get banged up or if they're out of the lineup for whatever reason, that you still have that chemistry built up with other lines?
Yeah, I think when you're going through those lineups, you try and make them as consistent as possible. But obviously consistent that, you know, are producing. I think when you go through our top six, our top first two lines, you know, they've been pretty consistent, I think, throughout the year, you know, due to the fact that they have been contributing and producing very well. Davitola and Shelter have been playing together for majority of the time since Shelter joined the team. So just things like that, I think you try and find, you know, certain pairings that, you know, that are have a little chemistry and are playing well together. And then I wouldn't say as much in like the six game segment, but I think you kind of take that game by game and day by day as you see in practice and try different things. And if you feel like you need to move some pieces around, then we'll do that in practice. But I think for the most part, I think the last couple weeks or so, you know, I thought we've been playing well and the lines have been pretty consistent, I think, throughout the whole time. So obviously you don't want to change too much. You need guys to be comfortable playing together, and I think keeping them together for more than, you know, a game or so is usually the way to do it.
When looking at a box score or at a stat chart or anything of those sorts, I know you guys as coaches have a little bit more in-depth analytics and things of those sorts to work through some of the guys' performances, but for the general person that looks and sees, for example, Larilla and Davitilla getting a point a night, that looks awesome and dandy, and you try and look at plus and minuses, things of those sorts, what things, though, are from a box score perspective, if at all, are you able to look at and take away the successes of guys, especially knowing with hockey? I mean, it's such a wonky game where you can hit the post a dozen times and cost yourself a few points, but then at the same point, you could have, you know, a shot deflected and you go on a 5 or 6 game point streak because of a couple things of those sorts. Is there anything box score related that you can take from that for the general fan, or is it more or less looking at the analytics and looking at the percentages of high opportunities and the way that you shoot your percentages and things of those sorts, if that makes sense?
Yeah, there's probably a couple that we use, I think, the most. Like, I think one that really stands out is offensive zone possession time, possession with the puck time, things like that. I think there's times in a game where you might get, you know, outscored or outchanced, but I think it always really comes down to how much you possess the puck, which I think we've done a really good job of this year, even in games where we maybe have lost or, you know, teams have scored a couple more goals than us. They're pretty consistently with our possession time. We, for the most part, have carried those games and you know, for almost every game in the last little chunk here, we've out-possessed and, you know, obviously it's probably shown on the score sheet, I think. Another one is projected goals for and against. So one of the Sportlogic or Instat, those systems we use for our statistics. They usually show our projected goals, which is really just, I don't know how they do it, but it's basically just from shots on net, chances, all that stuff, that's, and possession time and all that stuff, and it's made into a stat. And you know, usually it's pretty accurate with a game and how things go. So we always take into account, obviously, like plus minus and goals and assists and all that stuff, but there's obviously a few more that you pay attention to that really show how I think you know, how our wins and losses usually come, and that's pretty much for the most part offense zone possession time with the puck, and then our expected goals against. So I think those are, if I had to pick off the top of my head, I'd say those are probably the most important ones.
Awesome, definitely. And I believe you had mentioned before our conversation this weekend, you won't be on the bus with the guys going to Tri-City. You're going to end up scouting within, you know, the upper Midwest. I'm kind of curious about that on a week-to-week basis when you are going out scouting, and what you can even reveal to begin with as well. So maybe this won't be as great of a question as I'm hoping, but do you spend a lot of time at high school matchups? Do you spend time at different NOL games or different juniors types matchups? Where do you find yourself in those different spots and trying to evaluate talent? And does it come down to more or less overall talent, or maybe positions of need for next season, or maybe even deeper into this season for the team if you're looking to possibly pick somebody up off the waivers or things of those sorts?
Yeah, I'll be at a high school game this weekend. The Minnesota high school season actually starts tomorrow. So during the season, I won't see a ton of Minnesota high school, but I think just with the way that my schedule has been going this week, I'm going to try and catch one of those. And really, it's trying to find players for our draft in May. And I think for the most part, you try and get some eyes early. I won't get, I guess, into too much specific, but I think just getting some eyes on, getting, you know, our list kind of dialed, I guess, early. And then once you kind of identified a few names that you know, you liked or you think could help in the future, you definitely just keep eyes on that throughout the season. I won't say where I'm going this weekend, but I think watching some junior hockey and like the NAHL and the BCHL and things like that are always good places to find good players. And like I mentioned, I think it's mostly for our phase two and our phase one drafts coming up in May. So obviously it's a long ways away, but I think, you know, in Fargo, we definitely want to be on top of it and be prepared when it comes down to the draft. We know what we're talking about, and we know who is who, and we're not guessing when we're making picks. So obviously, like I think I mentioned before, like it's a huge part of you know, our league and junior hockey. And you know, I'm pretty fortunate to be able to go out and do those things and to go watch games. And I think it's you know, a big part of why we've been successful here.
Oh, I completely agree with you on that. And seeing the draft picks you guys have made with Coach Eads and company the last handful of years, and I remember hearing of, you know, just some names. Max Swanson is one that sticks out, and you wonder, a 16-year-old kid, and then he comes, bursts onto the scene, and now he's doing some great things at UND as an 18-year-old, which is something tremendous. And seeing different guys like Hampton Slukinski, who is doing great things in the college ranks and even being a goaltender of the week for his conference. And so I know that work really does end up panning out for you guys the majority of the time because of the time and effort you put into it. In closing with you today, Coach, I'm really, really curious about, over half the team is already committed to a college or a university to, you know, further their academics and athletic careers. But there are a few guys each and every year that, you know, midway through the year make those decisions, or maybe even at the end of the year they make that final decision. With you being in that realm most recently and on the last handful of years, do you ever have guys that are still searching for a collegiate home after the USHL that approach you asking you about tips and questions and things for advice with that? Or is that something that for the most part they just handle with themselves and their families?
Yeah, obviously I've had a couple of situations where guys have reached out, but for the most part, that's something that, you know, we try and stay a little bit out of. At the same time, obviously, if we ever, you know, they need help, we're for sure always there and speak to schools and all that stuff. But for the most part, we try and let those guys kind of make those decisions on their own, kind of go through the process on their own. If they need, you know, like I said, like if they need me to reach out to a school or reach out to whatever it may be, we're obviously there for all the help they need. But at the same time, I think it's a pretty big life decision. And I know personally being, you know, going through that, I think, you know, my dad and my family, we were pretty much doing it on our own. I don't think we reached out to my team at the time very, very much. So I think it's cool for the kids to go through it. And then, like I said, there's obviously the help that's needed when we need it. But at the same time, you know, those guys, they're smart kids and they know what they want. And, you know, we don't want to persuade them either way. So I think it's really cool to see them go through those processes. And then, you know, sometimes it doesn't work for everyone. And I think that's the cool part about it.
For sure. Awesome. Well, hey, Coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time. We always appreciate it. Good luck to the guys this weekend in Tri-City. Hopefully can come back with a handful or more points this weekend. Good luck to you scouting, and we're looking forward to some more conversations as we get closer to the holidays and towards the middle of the season, and we always appreciate that time, as I had mentioned earlier.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.